This is The Hustle. It's a podcast about product design. I'm Rick Messer. I'm here with Anthony.
What's up?
Anthony does stuff on this podcast too, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Armendariz, you know, in case you hadn't heard the word about him. We have some other people. We have a celebrity guest, John Hamm.
Hello.
Oh my God. We have yet another guest. Anthony, I'll let you introduce both these guys,
actually. Yeah, so Nick Robilek here is a friend of ours from New York City. Nick used to work with Natalie in the agency at an agency in New York City, and we've been friends ever since. He's in town for South by Southwest. He had a panel on Tuesday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, awesome. Johnny, also from New York City, a recent addition to the Fun Size team.
And Johnny and I know each other.
Yeah,
we know each other real well.
Airport.
Yeah. So why don't you guys each take a couple of minutes and introduce yourselves, your background, what you do, and then some one of you guys explain how you guys know each other.
Sure. Yeah, this is Nick. I've been doing ad and advertising, marketing, and product design for a long time. 17 years, I guess. 99, maybe end of 98.
Nice.
And Johnny and I know each other because I used to have a co-working space in New York he rented space at and wasn't too much of a mess at. He was all right, I guess. You know, he's a good guy. Good hire for Fun Size, for sure. Yeah, that's me.
I'm Johnny. Okay, I'll go a little closer. I know Nick through a Bitmap, but I've been doing product and design in general since around about 99, 2000, way in the first .com boom. I've kind of been doing it ever since. I don't even want to say the years. I think Nick already said it. But
we're old.
Yeah,
we're old heads in the years design and product stuff for sure.
we're way up there.
Johnny brought a soundboard.
Yeah.
It has not been approved by the Hustle cast, but he's going rogue. So you guys have some stuff in common aside from just knowing each other. You know, New York, product design, video games. Talk about how you both have something to do with video games.
Okay. Well, on the side from my marketing and ad and product design work, I do independent video games too. And I actually just signed a contract on this past Friday with a publisher to get it out there. So that's getting shown at GDC, which is the Game Developers Conference, the big brouhaha. Out in San Francisco as we speak.
Congratulations.
I decided to come to South by Southwest instead of going to that because you guys drink and eat a lot down here, and that's a lot of fun.
That's all it's about.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, okay.
cool story, bro. Yeah.
No.
Video games?
Yeah, mostly. I mean, most of my career has been definitely product-based or agency-based, but I did a small stint at Rockstar Games for a while. Awesome crew, awesome man. I mean, dream come true. But back into doing product. But also a huge gamer. You guys want to nerd out ever about games? You can hit me up on Twitter.
Gross.
We'll talk about that later. Yeah.
Wait,
or
and
hit me up on Peach because I'm on that all the time.
Oh yeah, you had a client that was Voltron too, right?
Yeah.
Does that have anything to do with video games? I honestly don't know.
Kid. For when I did have my own little studio, Voltron was one of our clients. That's like a dream come true. If you're in your 30s or mm-hmm. a little older, maybe 35 and older.
Uh-huh.
Voltron, amazing, great group. It was great. Yeah, Voltron. You guys look it up. Google. It's not Power Rangers. It's Voltron, by the way, Voltron.
Voltron has become almost synonymous with like a great team. You know, like, we're going to make Voltron.
Exactly. Know? And also Sprite commercials from the 90s and also hip-hop back in the day. Anyway, I'm just...
Hey, true.
On that, tie it all together. On that Voltron note. Brings everybody together. That's what Johnny's saying.
True or false, I know the entire rap that Criss Cross did for a Sprite commercial.
Are you going to do it?
Later.
Awesome.
Yes. That was not a good segue into the next part. It was just a fact that I think should be well known. So we were also going to talk just a little bit about, you know, geography, right? Am I getting ahead of us?
Yeah, we were talking about a couple things, geography and how that matters with, you know, people's design career, and also the difference between working at a big agency and working on a product team.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I forgot to mention was both Nick and I, maybe you mentioned it, I apologize, but both Nick and I are recently, well, Nick's still in New York, but I just moved back to Austin from New York. And I was there for about 10 years doing a lot of design work with a lot of different kind of agencies, small shops, big shops, all kind of startups, everything in between. Like we mentioned, Markstar Games. And Nick has also been in kind of the same boat as me.
It's been very similar. The mix of big shops when it's full time, small shops when it's freelancing.
Yeah,
I think for the most part is how it went for me.
Yeah.
What's it like? I mean, we talk a lot about small teams on the podcast, or, you know, or product design teams at enterprises, but we haven't really talked a lot about, like, you know, the different, like, what does it feel like? Nick, you've worked at a lot of big agencies.
Well, the big agencies, they always put bigger teams on stuff, and of course they have bigger budgets, and so you get a smaller piece of the pie to work on, I think, a lot of the time, which has, you know, has its upsides and downsides. And with the smaller agencies that I work with, when I'm freelancing, sometimes I enjoy that more. It kind of depends on what mood I'm in, because I'll work with a lot of agencies that maybe don't do a lot of interactive stuff, or just a lot of digital stuff in general. So when the project comes up, they call me. It's like, we have this project. Do you want to do it? And they just hand me the whole project. Nice. And that's a lot of fun. So if I need to bring on other freelancers, I can build a little team. And I like working in smaller teams, you know, 3-4 people.
Yeah.
So I think that's the, like Voltron, right? You hit 5 and that's like the best amount, right? So you have like maybe like a project manager and then a couple designers and a couple developers. And you can just pump it out, you know, and just do an awesome job on it. And there's much less politics involved than some of the larger agencies can have.
Nice.
So, I think it was you. Yeah, you were talking about an experience working with Nike, which I thought was interesting.
So I did for not for that long. I mean, really, just a few weeks before I left the agency I was at that I was doing the Nike stuff at. A project came up where we had to do an iOS app, and all the design had really already been defined, and it was kind of a cut and paste, paint by numbers kind of thing.
Right, because Nike has a well-established brand,
right?
Well-established guidelines, working with multiple vendors. So, like, what's the difference in, like, being a designer doing that and, like, creating a product from...
A lot of it's just execution when it's the bigger brands at advertising and marketing agencies. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can be good, you know, especially if it's a tight deadline. You know what it's going to look like. You already have a kind of a library of iconography defined, and colors are all defined. But if you do that for a while, you know, you kind of want to start stuff from scratch sometimes, and that's why it's good. Or that's why I enjoy working with smaller places.
Can you say what agency it was that you worked on Nike at?
RGA.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is that where and that's where you know Natalie from, or?
No, I know Natalie from a place that I don't think really exists anymore. I worked with Natalie also in New York, but I had started at that was IMC Squared is what it was called. Now I think it has a different name. Mm.
They actually were Digitas now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well,
there you go. So I was in Dallas for about a year doing a lot of Diet Coke, advertising, marketing, online stuff, and wasn't a huge fan of Dallas, so had them transfer me to New York. It was one of those scenarios where, like, if I'm moving to New York, so if you want me to keep working here, you have to transfer me or I quit.
Sure.
And then with Natalie, mostly, I think I was working on Dove Chocolate and M&M's, and probably something else that I can't remember because that was a while ago now.
We've known Natalie each other and I for met a while. Each other working there too.
I heard in the Dallas office, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And I worked with Natalie, and it was, you know, she's awesome to work with. She's a great designer. Not too big on the BS politics that can show up in agencies a lot.
That's right.
So she was the first person that I really started getting along with when I moved to New York at that specific agency.
Nice.
If you guys don't know who Natalie is,
that's true. Some people may know. Anthony's wife and partner of Fun Size.
She's on a lot of the earlier podcasts. You can hear her voice.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess this is now the Opie and Anthony show.
Yeah.
The soundboard. I guess it's not Opie and Anthony anymore either. I'm out of date.
So New York, why New York? Like, why didn't you go to Kansas? Like, why New York? Both of you guys.
Well, for me...
Or versus San Francisco, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, like... Okay, so for me... Ever since I started out, like New York and like, you know, large agencies, like, you know, we were talking about this earlier, like Kyokin and Blast Radius, like where they were based in New York, and that was like a huge thing because they were doing the best work, you know, back here in Austin, not to knock Austin, but back in the day it was, you know, it wasn't the same.
I remember those days.
Yeah. It was more, I mean, the thing they were doing, you know, they were doing stuff with Nike and they were doing stuff with, like, you know, Casio and like all these huge brands where you couldn't do anything like that in Texas. Right. I stayed here in Austin, but my wife, she got a new job at L'Oreal, so we moved to New York, and that's how I got my move to New York.
Okay.
But it's always been actually kind of like my dream in the past, you know, kind of starting out like, you know, how do I get to New York? Because like, this is where all the great work is. Like, this is where, like, everything is happening. All the cool designers are from New York, you know. I mean, you give a shout out to, like, DJ Skrilla and Fame Whore. No one's going to know who that is. But, like, you know, all those really great designers, like Joshua Davis was there when he was at Kyokin. And, like, it's like, those are the kind of guys. Those were the rock star celebrities when, mm-hmm. you know, when you're starting as a young designer. Those are the guys you want to work with and learn from.
So would it, you know, because I was in the same boat. Mm-hmm. Would it be fair to say in the late 90s, early 2000s, that if you really wanted to work at one of these companies that was doing high impactful work, you pretty much had to go there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's how I ended up there. Because right after college, I went out to San Francisco to, you know, do the design thing out there. Wasn't a huge fan of San Francisco. Definitely wasn't a huge fan of Californians.
What? Why not?
Too late back for me, honestly. I grew up in Philadelphia and
East Coast boy.
Yeah, I'm an East Coast boy.
Okay.
And so it was a little bit too late back. I prefer to get stabbed in the front instead of the back. You know, because you know, like wherever you are, if you're in advertising marketing, there's the same kind of company and interpersonal politics. I like to see it coming towards me instead of coming from behind me.
Mm. Wow.
And I would say that that's probably still true now. And New York is, I mean, it's New York, right? It's just rough and tumble for the most part. Even in the ad world, I think, you know, everyone, for the most part, it's pretty straightforward if you're talking about ad marketing agency or even the product agencies.
Yeah. But like today it's way different. I definitely think it's not what it used to be. As far as like, you don't have to go to New York now to work at a great place. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of really great product studios all over, you know, the United States and even the world. Like, I mean, you know, Raleigh, and it's like, where are they, in Oregon or Washington?
Salt Lake City, Utah.
Strike three. But but yeah, you know, Raleigh, you know, Fun Size in Austin, of course, you know. even at like, you know, like those are stuff like, you know, there's just like, it doesn't really matter where you are these days. I mean, it helps for sure. You know, I mean,
it does matter like a little bit though, right?
A little bit.
Like,
well,
I think it matters less though.
It matters less, but here, let me ask you guys all this question, because this is sort of what spurred the idea for the topic of geography. Like, if you were hiring someone and you had something come in, you're like, hey, here's this guy and here's his portfolio. Portfolio looks great. You know, and then you're like, read, I guess, whatever in his portfolio. Oh, he's from New York, mm-hmm. or he's from San Francisco. And then you're going to have like an impression of that dude's work. But if you then read, like, instead of that, if it was you see some awesome work and then it's like, this dude's from Lawrence, Kansas. Like, how is that going to affect, like, your decision to hire him? Is it a good thing, bad thing? Does it matter? Like, I think it just...
It's really interesting.
Really, really puts a spin on it. Like,
So you're, just in summary, the psychologically looking at the same body of work, but seeing, mm-hmm. but one resume saying Lawrence, Kansas, and the other one saying San Francisco, New York, psychologically doesn't make you feel like this person is... More capable.
I guess, you know, honestly, I think maybe it depends on who you are. For instance, mm-hmm. before we were, you know, Fun Size, I ran a little studio and it didn't, when I,
called Griswold.
Griswold, by the way.
Yeah.
If you get that, you know, whatever. the thing about Griswold, like, okay, we were a small shop, but, you know, not to toot our home, but I thought we did great work. And if we
you
were,
did.
It didn't really matter where you were from. Honestly, if I saw someone from New York versus someone in Kentucky, not to knock you guys in Kentucky, love Lexington.
And bourbon.
Yeah. I see dollar signs. Someone in New York is going to want way more money. And I am from New York. I want way more money, you know?
Right.
So I would see, it wasn't so much like nowadays, it's like the marketplace has changed. Like the best talent is no longer in New York or San Francisco or LA or anywhere. It's kind of like now that it's the, like if you're going to create a product or create a studio or create a startup, it's like, awesome time to do it because you don't have to go to New York. You don't have to be. You don't have to be in San Francisco to start. You know, a startup. You can get talent anywhere. You can get into India. You can get in the Philippines. Like for instance, with Griswold, a lot of our talent came from Philippines, but it wasn't because we weren't outsourcing. We picked them. They were handpicked. You know, they weren't guys that we just like went to Elance or whatever or whatever.
I think it's kinda, Elance. Yeah.
Yeah. We went to Dribbble. Found some guys, talked to them. We met. It was great, and not met, but you know, virtually met. But it was like it was awesome. It's like then they kind of worked with us, and we did awesome stuff together. So
yeah. I have a friend who's that I actually lived in New York the same time I did. She's a butcher, or since like left New York City to be you know to take her craft to Indianapolis to open a butcher shop. And I think she explained this probably the best that I've heard anyone's ever explained it to me because I couldn't. Articulated. I was explaining what was happening in Austin. She was like, well, if you really think about it, many years ago when we were younger, we had to go to these bigger cities to learn these crafts because that's where the epicenter was. And then we mastered those crafts or whatever. And then we go along the curve of our life, we started wanting different things. We started wanting more space or start a family. So people all around the country, designers, you know, butchers, candlestick makers, whatever, came back to the smaller cities that were maybe you know were kind of run down you know like city you know like or needed that spurt of growth like cities like Austin cities like Pittsburgh cities like Indianapolis like and now you have these master craft these people that can teach and continue to grow like another economy
yeah
so you know it's I still think it. It matters, you know. I mean, it also matters too, like where you're from. Like, a lot of people are from that work in San Francisco or New York are from there, right? Yeah. So, like, it's not just they're not just there because that's there's great opportunities there. They're also there because they want to be close to their family.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, I think like if you're gonna live in New York or San Francisco, the like ratio of like extraordinary designers to you know normal designers is going to be a lot higher there. Actually, you know what? It's a little weird.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true. There's more good designers, but that's only because there's more people.
I think that's what I was going to say. Yeah. It's definitely more like there's so many people and like you know there's more people. There's definitely going to be better designers there. But not, I mean, you know, it's still important. I think, but it's not necessary anymore. It's not like it was.
It's not a prerequisite.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not like if you're from Kentucky. Let's talk about Virginia for example. I grew up around Hampton Roads, Virginia. There's an awesome agency called Grow Interactive.
That's Look a cool it up. Name. It's a cool name.
Fucking dope. They do mostly advertising, marketing stuff. Amazing work. When I worked at Can I drop names of agencies that I worked at before?
Yeah,
let's see. Why not?
When I worked at Springbox back in the day here in Austin.
Springbox.
Do I get a Springbox one here?
Cue spring sound effect.
Anyway.
Anyway.
what I was saying about, like, we were hired them from, you know, I'm sure it was because it was cheaper, but the talent, like, we did, like, all this stuff for Lollapalooza back in 2006, and it was just, like, amazing stuff. Like, it was, like, not, I mean... We had an awesome team at Springbox, but some of the stuff they saw, I was like super jealous about. And I was like, oh my gosh, we need to step our game. These guys are from fucking Virginia. Nothing but sailors there.
Yeah.
In military. And it's like, these are badass guys. And it's like, so I don't think it's a prerequisite to be awesome.
That's actually kind of my point is that like, it does like affect your opinion, but it's almost like, are you queuing up a soundboard? Yeah. But no, it actually, right. If I see some work and I think it's pretty good, And then I find out that dude's from, you know, I don't know, Wisconsin, whatever. I'll be like, oh, that's pretty good for Wisconsin. You know, like, I don't know a lot of, you know, I don't know. Maybe there are awesome design agencies out there. But then if I then find out, like, oh, wait, this guy's from New York or San Francisco, I'll be like, I'm going to judge it a little bit more harshly because, like, the competition and, like, just where you're around, like, you're sort of, it's the culture that you live in. Yeah. Like, I think that really, really matters to what your output is, you know?
It's funny. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But
oh, it's okay.
One thing about that, like, me and my wife get into this all the time. She's like, why don't you go to museums? Why don't you go do this? Why don't you do that? Get some culture into you. But, you know, honestly, I'm like, I got the internet. I mean, that sounds really nerdy.
You're in New York, and you'd rather experience the internet than...
I mean, New York's dope, and it's great, and there's a lot of things... I mean, of course, there's a lot of things to do. It's like, I mean, it's awesome, but at the same time, it's like, there's the internet. Like, dude, like, I don't need to go to New York to experience that stuff. I can, like, just Dribbble, Behance, Pinterest, whatever. You know, it's like, it's all there. Before, in the past, you had to go to museums, you had to get meetups, you had to do all this stuff to get that kind of feel of, like, design and stuff. But nowadays, it's like, it's on the internet. Like, I can go www.designthisshit.com, and it's dope. It's like, okay, here we go. I can take that from inspiration and become something. So,
but I'm saying that internet is obviously going to affect us pretty directly, but I think like where you live sort of indirectly affects you because there's just like a vibe of where you live, the culture. I think that comes through in your works.
There's a couple things that I'd like to share. Like after thinking about this topic for a while, it's so obvious, but it took me a while to really figure it out. There are some times when it really matters, right? Like let's say you're a you're a designer, but you're an entrepreneur. You're looking for a co-founder. What's the best place to work?
Yeah.
Facebook, right? Because we're, you know, companies like that, because where are you, that's the place you're most likely to find someone that's going to start a business with you, right? Or in a city like San Francisco where you're surrounded with those like-minded people. You may not go there because you're really interested in designing for Facebook. You might be going there because you're looking for a co-founder. Also, along the lines of these big mecca cities, big agencies, and you know, around the world, and also places where there's large amounts of product design companies, it's a slippery slope, I think, because just because someone worked at one of these big companies like Facebook doesn't mean they're a great designer.
That's right.
Because these people, they hire in the hundreds.
Yeah.
Right. So I would almost rather hire someone that came from a small 2-10 person company because chances are they were in the weeds, they did the work, they were closely mentored by founders and discipline leads, like versus like hire someone at one of these big agencies or big companies.
But do you think that's because you work at a small company?
Maybe. I mean, it might just be my perspective, but there's good designers everywhere, you know, and
that's true. That's absolutely true.
But I just don't think that because someone worked at RGA or someone worked at Google, that doesn't mean that they're a good designer.
That's right.
Thanks, man. that's great. Yeah, you know, that's totally that, take me down a peg. That's awesome.
You know, so like what you're saying though, like, you know, if you're going to be an entrepreneur in San Francisco versus in Austin, your chances of being successful is probably higher in San Francisco just because there's more.
What do you
that
mean by success though? Like
success is like, you know,
not being broke,
earning a decent salary.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking like, you know, like for instance, from my experience as running my own agency, studio or whatever, New York, dude, like when I first moved to New York, and again, I'm not trying to toot my own horn. When I first moved there, literally, I put my resume out. I had like 8 interviews that week, like instantly, boom, like this.
Well, that's because of when we got there too, Johnny. I mean, because I had the same thing happen. Yeah. I was there, I moved back from San Francisco, and 4 days later, I had a job.
Exactly, yeah.
You know? Wow.
In Austin, different, totally different. And of course, the market's a lot smaller. There's a lot less companies, but like, you know, if you lost your job in Austin in 2005, 2004, you were pretty screwed. Like, you know, you're gonna be looking elsewhere for work. It's gonna be hard because it's a small market.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, and but like when you're in the same thing when you're starting a business in New York or San Francisco or anywhere else where there's a high population, it's your success rate, I think, would be higher when you're there because there's so much more going on. There's so many more companies, so many people you network with, so many like people you can partner with, you know. Not to say that you can't be successful in Austin by any means. Like Front Size is, you know, definitely more successful than Griswold ever was, and they're in Austin, and I was in New York. You know, I was in the thick of it. You know, working with startups. You know, we worked at a co-working space right underneath Foursquare. You know, right above Foursquare. I mean, you know, so we were in the thick of startup city, and. Mm-hmm. You guys were in Fun Size Austin and doing way exceptionally better than
use your words.
Yeah. than Griswold was. So, I mean, it's kind of like two things. I mean, it's like, I think I probably wouldn't be able to start the company if we weren't in New York, I think. I mean, not to say that we weren't talented, but I think it was a lot easier to start in New York. But yeah. At the same time, I think... You know, it's kind
I've
of, you
I've
know.
Heard that you know I think I heard this on back on the episode Anthony that you did with Greg about agency stuff that you know if you're in San Francisco you're in Texas wherever you can get work everywhere but like if you want to work with New York agencies or companies like you pretty much have to be in New York is that true
well when I
no,
when
I don't think that's
well
true. Think that's
true? No. When I mean, I'll share a story. I mean, I don't know if this is like this for everyone, but in you know, when the first .com bust and out, when I was in Austin, you know, to kind of ring on what Johnny's saying, there were no jobs, like none.
No design jobs.
No.
Ugh,
I mean,
bad.
There were, but like people were heavily competing for them. And so like the only way I could survive was freelancing. And it was tough. And so, you know, there was all these companies. I was like, okay, I'm going to apply to these companies in New York. And all of them, either didn't respond to me at all, like, or said, when you get to New York, let us know.
Yeah. Same right? thing happened to me, too, when I was looking for work there, yeah.
Well, I think that's looking for a full-time job, too. I mean, like, after the first dot-com crash, I moved, because I was in New York in, like, 99, 2000, and so after all that crashed, because I made the stupid mistake of going from Razorfish, like, when they were only a couple years old, to a place called March 1st. That,
oh,
right?
Dude,
okay,
March 1st.
If you're laughing, you know what I'm talking about, because it was a joke.
They had an awesome site, by the way. Yeah.
Oh, I thought that way. I always thought they had a cool name, though.
The name was March 1st.
Yeah, and I got to, yeah, it and was then, called March 1st. Well, that was a technology company that combined with a consultancy, and they did so on March 1st. So they named the company March 1st. Oh, that was the basic story, and it's a very...
Cool.
Stupid story. And I got to do a lot of fun work there. I got to do like Audi stuff there and like launch the TT Roadster and launch the Allroad Quattro, like when they first came to the US. And we got to do crazy, crazy awesome stuff. And then back when the Flash Web Awards were a thing and won a bunch of those, that was good. And like Macromedia site of the day.
FWA.
Oh man.
FWA back in the day. And at that point it was, you know, it was two designers who had to learn how to code in Flash and design and develop a website in like 6 weeks. And that was awesome. But then after all that crashed, you know, there was no work and it was really expensive to live in New York even back then. So I moved back to Philadelphia and I did freelance stuff with companies in New York because I was living in Philadelphia, and I was much cheaper than some of the New York designers were.
Yep.
Now that wouldn't have been, you know, a sustainable thing, but it was sustainable long enough for me to be back in Philadelphia for like 6 or 7 years until I moved to Dallas to do the Diet Coke stuff. Hmm. So I think there's a way to work with them remotely, but yeah, definitely not full time. But you know, to the point that we're talking about now, with you know where you are in the country, it doesn't matter as much. A lot of the bigger New York agencies. They have offices now in Austin. They have offices in San Francisco. I mean, even RJ has an office in like freaking Iceland. You know, so it's starting to spread out. People are starting to get the idea that you really don't have to be in New York. Yeah. You really don't have to be in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. You can spread out a bit.
Mm. That's a good point.
Well, what about you? Like, how are things changing? Like, what's going on in Philly? Right.
Philly's tech scene is getting bigger. I think maybe not as quite as big as they think it is, and maybe not quite as interesting as they think it is, which I'm allowed to say because I grew up there. but I mean, compared to a couple of years ago, like it's a lot better than it was. There's some more startup technology companies there that are doing interesting stuff. There's some smaller design places that are doing a lot of stuff. But again, it's smaller places. Mm-hmm. It's not a lot of big stuff.
You guys. I've always only really worked at boutiques, and I had one job at a bigger agency. I'm really impressed with like the stuff that you guys have done, and I actually didn't know a lot of the stuff that you guys do.
Yeah,
I didn't know a lot of stuff that you guys shared. I'm really interested in hearing what you guys think. You know, what kind of advice you guys would give to young designers that are trying to figure out, like, you know, where to go. Like, they're just graduating college. They're trying to figure out, like...
Go where the companies that you want to work for are, I think. You know, that's what it should come... Like, pick two or three companies. Look, it's like picking a college. Pick two or three companies, apply at all of them, see who bites, and move there if it's not where you live. And that doesn't have to be New York. That doesn't have to be San Francisco. And these days, I like that it can be Austin. It can be Dallas. It can be smaller cities. Still, you know, fairly large cities, but smaller cities. And there are places popping up in the Midwest, like Johnny was saying a little bit earlier, like that are doing really cool stuff. And they might be specialty shops, but they're specialty shops because their specialty is doing badass work.
Yeah.
So move to Nebraska if they're doing cool stuff at a company in Nebraska, you know?
Yeah.
If you want the prestige of working for a New York agency, move there. But think about, does that really matter? Do you want the prestige? Do you want that? Or do you want to enjoy your job and do good stuff?
Yeah, as far as young designers go, if I had one tip, well, two tips. One, network like fucking crazy, because you never, I mean,
yes,
your portfolio, yeah. I mean, your portfolio, you can be badass, but once it starts to dry up, you know, your friends and colleagues will come by and hook you up with all this kind of work.
That's a good point.
Second, God, it was just, it's on the tip of my tongue. Second is just realize this is a long road. It's not, it's like, it seems like, man, I've been doing it for a while, but there's still a lot going on. So, you know, you might work at this company here and there, and it's great if you can stay at that one company. But, you know, it's like a lot of, I don't know. It's a really, 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 really long career. I mean, you're going to be designing for what? Maybe not designing, executing for a while, but you'll probably be designing for maybe 20, 30 years of your career. It's long. It's long and hard. I mean, like, for instance, gross. For example, when I started, I just wanted to do agency work, agency nonstop, because I wanted my portfolio to be big. I wanted it to be amazing. I wanted people to get, I wanted respect. I didn't really, you know, I just wanted that kind of, I guess, a little bit of power for that, you know, kind of seeing how, you know, people see your badass portfolio. They're like, oh yeah, you're dope. Nowadays, I'm doing more product, which, still, there's respect there, but it's not the same. It's not hard and fast, like agency, boom, out the door, boom, gun. Now it's a little different. It's more long-term kind of thing going, you know. It's like, you know, you're building something. You're changing it constantly. You're doing all that kind of stuff. So I've switched from doing agency to more product, which right now in my life, career-wise, is perfect. Like, I'm not about, you know, it's like I've done making cool stuff. It's not about that anymore. It's about making the right stuff for me, you know, and for my client. So
I wish we had what's that? Is it Vanilla Ice or somebody that did that song, The Right Stuff? I wish I had a sound clip right now.
New Kids on the Block.
Oh, New Kids on the Block. Yeah, sorry.
You are so young.
No.
But yeah, I mean, and you know, 5 years down the line, it could be something different. I mean, maybe I could be designing, I don't know, freaking... cold bottles or whatever, you know.
Change with the times.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You gotta change stay with the up. Times.
Yeah. Well,
we're kind of going off some different. But
well,
yeah,
I think it's all interesting, right? I mean, you know, I've been lucky enough to have a taste of everything, and I'm glad that I did. I mean, there are lots of times when I wish that I had access to the bigger agency client roster and business. You know,
you'll
for
get
sure
there though,
for sure. You know, but you know, I think, you know, my guess. To answer my own question for the young designers, I think it's might be interesting to get a little bit of all of the experience, right?
Yeah.
Go work in a small shop. Go work at a big shop. Go work at a product company. Work at an agency. Work at an advertising agency. Like, it's going to make you well-rounded. And then it is a long, you have a long time, right? So it doesn't matter.
You got a long
time.
Like,
you don't have to pick one of these things and be married to it for your whole career.
That's true.
And I don't want to say you have a long time, definitely, but don't rest on shit. I mean, right now, I'm a little embarrassing myself, but I was doing prototype animations in Flash just internally for myself. And
Last week, right?
Honestly, yeah.
It's anime.
Actually,
now,
he's being
right?
serious.
Well, I mean, it's just for like to show a prototype. I mean, it wasn't going to be a website or it was export HTML5. Shut the fuck up. but seriously, like one of our designers there was like doing stuff in Principle, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. It's like, you know, you really got to stay up on this technology because Principle is like now it's like, you know, even like Photoshop now, it's like shit. Who's doing? I mean, still working on a little bit, but it's like really moving. So even though you have a long time, you don't want to rest and sit on your butt and kind of be that person. You got to keep moving and kind of like, it's a long road ahead of you and there's a lot of change and you got to really keep changing or you're going to be left behind big time.
That's true. That's good.
The Flash, it's called Animate now, by the way.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh, yeah. Is it really? Oh, yeah. I actually didn't hear that.
You
got to
stay up to date.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, hey, I want to do just say a quick little special thanks to Travis Ledoux at MAST in Denver because Anthony and I and a couple other people went to Epicurrents this past week.
Sorry.
Hair trigger on that thing, man. And he and I kind of like, he was one of the dudes that brought up this this topic, the geography topic, and I just thought it was really interesting. So I want to say thanks to Travis for sharing some of his opinions on it. They got some of the wheels moving on it. And
I don't know. It was one thing I wanted to talk about, though, real quick before we close up. I don't know how much time we got left.
We have infinity.
Okay. One of the interesting, like, with Nick and I, and also Anthony, not so much Rick over here. Well, maybe Rick. I don't know. Who knows?
I don't know what you're going to say.
Was more of kind of like the, we were talking about this before the podcast, was more like kind of like, you know, agency life versus product life.
Okay.
And how the difference is. Because a lot of listeners now, I'm sure, are more product-based designers and kind of want to maybe talk about the difference between that.
Between agency and
between
product?
Working with an agency, not a product agency, but an actual like...
Oh,
add a product?
Hold on, I can do that in one sentence. Okay, it's really simple. Do you like sleeping? If the answer is yes, do product.
Yeah.
If the answer is no, do marketing and advertising. Because the very, very, well, at least in New York and well, both coasts, very, very long days.
Sure.
Midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m.
Is that because...
It's because they're bad at planning.
Well, that's what I was going to really say think. Is because obviously like a digital product design studio has come into play a lot later. So I feel like, there's more planning involved. I just feel like a marketing agency is just, that world has been around for a long time. And so it's not as, I don't know, it's not using some of the planning methods that product is today.
Yeah, I mean,
everything's a fire.
For sure.
Yeah. Fire drill.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's like, it's also like, you know, when you're, as a product designer, you're actually thinking really thoroughly about this kind of stuff, you know, kind of walking through versus like working with an agency, it's more aesthetic based, like, you know, making it look the best to kind of like push out and get it out there to promote whatever product, which honestly, if you're interested in doing that, it's not bad. Like I had a blast like working.
Oh yeah. It's a lot of, I mean, it's long hours, but it's a ton of fun.
So yeah, it's a ton
of fun.
I don't
make it sound too terrible.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you work with all kinds of different, it's like with a product based thing, which is kind of like, back in the day, there was a kind of two designers. There was agency designer and in-house designer. And I think product design has kind of become that in-house kind of thing.
I think so.
Yeah. So, if you're interactive, and it's not a knock on both, but like, you know, if you definitely like are interested in, when does it become like career fair? When you're definitely interested in like doing like, you know, really fast paced stuff and doing kind of all kinds of big brands, you know, agencies, definitely awesome. But, you know,
well, it's also too like,
very different.
I kind of just realized this, but like agency work, like the work that comes out of it, it seems like it's a lot more like, what you see right away.
Yeah, no,
and
definitely.
Product work is like definitely not what you see right away. Mm-hmm. It's like how it works, like behind the scenes and like, you know, the user experience that comes after having used it a couple times, you know, and stuff. So,
you know, I think if you're going to in kind of like, if you think of like these kind of inspiration sites, I mean, like if you think of Dribbble, it's definitely very more product based. You know, it's like, it's almost kind of like,
It's definitely turned into that, though.
Yeah. Remember when Dribbble first launched? Like, no one was doing like mobile stuff at all.
No. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, and Dribbble's great. I love Dribbble, but like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, everyone's doing a dashboard, everyone's doing an app. It's like very product based, and it's more aesthetic. You know, it's of course it's aesthetic based because it's just a stupid thumbnail. But if you go to things like Behance, it's very more agency forward. Like they're different. Like they're doing like stuff Mountain Dew or Nintendo, or you see those kind of portfolios. So it's kind of like, I don't know where I'm going with this, but. You can kind of see the two differences in portfolios when you look at Dribbble and Behance. Like, this is more of an agency.
The ad portfolios are much shorter lived too. So, so it's a company spends $10 million on a brand campaign and it's live for a month.
Yeah. No, yeah, wow. Dude.
And then you never see it again, and it's on to the next thing. And maybe the next campaign will pick up a similar style, or it'll take notes from the previous campaign, but it's mm-hmm. not, you know, it's not live anymore. So you almost need to archive every single piece of work you do, like top to bottom for the ad marketing stuff.
Working at agencies definitely helped me tune my art direction abilities, right? Like to be able to get a job like that and know that, okay, well, yeah, I got to come up this from scratch. Like some of them had to come up from scratch. Some of them had strong brand guidelines, and it was fun to get to work on that amount of variety of aesthetic styles and stuff
You know, I've been seeing a lot of Medium articles lately. It's just kind of knocking doing stuff on Dribbble just for aesthetics. It's like, dude, it's just kind of sometimes there are product designs where you really want to you got to dig deep, and it's more about how the user flows with it and all kinds of stuff and touches it and all kinds of, it's more about how they experience it versus, typically just making it pretty. And it's either way. It's whatever kind of design you're doing, as long as you're reaching the goal, whether it's aesthetic to make it look the most badass or making it the most easiest to use and the most simple, where it's for instance, the Medium or the Quartz app, where it's just chat, but it's a fucking amazing app where you're getting your news while you're chatting. Have you guys seen that?
No. It's pretty. Pretty is a good way to describe it, which is not how I would normally think of chat apps.
It's simple. It's and it's telling you're talking to it to get news, but it's
Oh, yes, I have seen that.
But that's amazing. It's another amazing product. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't, you're not really gauging your success of how successful our product was based on how good it looks, which, a lot of people are complaining about. It's kind of I don't even know where I'm going with this shit. Actually, I know I got to pee. That's
You just went down a path and you're like, oh,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is it's two different worlds. Yeah, depending on how you, depending on what you feel stronger at, it's not better or worse. It's kind of what it is, what you're good at, I guess.
And I think companies that are successful kind of need both.
Yeah.
Right. You need product people.
You can't, because a lot of people are quick to throw away quick to bash a designer that's doing getting a lot of likes on Dribbble and stuff. But you do have to consider that that is important. Not necessarily Dribbble likes directly, but I'm just saying you can't just throw out the visual design aspect of it. You got to be I you can run a successful agency and not have any talented visual designers and just be super good at interaction design.
MySpace.
But
right.
MySpace.
That's what it was. Yeah.
That's a low blow.
Yeah.
Does that still exist?
Yeah. I don't know, actually.
But I bring up MySpace, but that what it was in 2003, 2004, when that you want to do great stuff, but no one wants to hire you because they are just focusing on development. So fucking frustrating. No, developers say this. I mean, and you want to work with developers. I'm not saying, dude, shout out to my developer friends.
Yeah.
You guys are awesome.
Tough.
But yeah, it was very development driven. It's more about kind of finishing this and whatever. And it's kind of design would take a side, backseat. Mm-hmm. It's changed
sometimes
now.
Sometimes that's the right thing, but
it depends on the project. But
but if the whole thing is really about user experience, you want a solid backend, but if it's not fun to use, the reason MySpace failed, if it's hard to use, people they're just going to go somewhere else. That's why everyone goes to Facebook now.
No, and dude, I'm not knocking developers because
we could talk about Friendster too if you want.
They do a huge part. They have a huge part in making that faster, making the site load faster, making do this, that, making it smoother. So it's not that, but it was back then, it was just put it out, put a color on it. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Put it out there. And it's, I don't know where I'm going with this again. Dude, I'm the wandering podcast.
Yeah, we're just talking about design. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You're up.
Now we're talking about bad design. Right?
Yeah, now we're talking about
what
bad design.
What is that?
Although MySpace does still exist, and it doesn't look bad.
It actually looks good, and now it's a piece of shit.
I'm sure.
Yeah, no one uses it. Well, now it's a promotional site for music and film, really.
All right. I got a bunch of buttons here.
He's like, wait a minute, we're wrapping up, and I didn't use all these.
I'm still waiting for the spring sound.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The exit.
Oh, yeah.
All right, sorry. All right, shut up, computer. Siri, Shut up. All right, there we go.
I was thinking about... Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, no more.
Very nice, very nice. Cool, well... Yeah, we should probably wrap up. I think we're out of time, but thanks a lot, guys. Is there anything that you guys want to, you know, tell people to follow you and stuff on Twitter or anything like that? Do you want to say something like that?
Sure. This is Nick. You can if you know what trolling is and find it funny, you can follow me on Twitter at Pixel Metal, which is my indie game Twitter. I don't really use my personal one very much, but it's just Nick Robolik. I assume on the podcast the correct spelling will be up there. I'll make it easy to find
me. We can do that.
NickRoblick.com for portfolio nerd stuff. And
how can people find out about the game that's coming out?
Can't talk again. Let's go to pixelmetal.com. And it'll take you right
there.
That's
the best URL.
You guys should check
ever.
It out. It's
yeah.
It was random. I made a list of random words.
Okay.
And like video game related words. Mm-hmm. And I just fed them into like a random name generator. I was like, that works. Pixel Metal. Sounds good. Yeah, yeah. And people think, especially when they see me because I have really long hair and I have tattoos and wear a lot of black, that I'm just like metal guy, and I'm totally not.
You're not.
I'm totally not a metal
You're
guy.
You're like in a smooth jazz. Well, Kenny G.
I won't deny that. Maybe I'm not Kenny G, but mellower stuff. So people are like, "Man, you love so and so, right?"
I'm like, "Kenny G's too metal. He's a little smoother."
You see that in his hair?
Yeah. That's cool. That's it. Johnny, you wanna do your thing?
The game's beautiful. Check it out.
Thing. Yeah, dude. No, seriously, you guys check it out. Awesome. Well, Nick's pushing out some awesome cuz
artist.
Stuff. Yeah. Johnny. I'm only on Twitter.
Peach.
Gosh. Oh, yeah. I'm on Peach too. If you want to follow me,
I know
Peach.
Yours, right? You're Jay Digga on Twitter.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know what any of your
disclaimer.
Stuff means
if you
online.
Guys wanna, if you guys are like into like furries,
No.
Hey, it's not that kind of podcast, man.
No. But seriously,
if you're a huge Sonic the Hedgehog fan,
don't take my Twitter too seriously. It's much of retweets of other stuff that I think is funny. I rant on it a little bit. It's really like I meet a lot of people at South by Southwest and like, oh, hey, you're cool, blah, blah. And I follow on Twitter and, you know, they're probably like, who the fuck is this guy with this all? It's nothing really design related. It's just fun. But if you want to, it's at JDigga. Yeah.
Thanks for joining, Nick.
Sure thing. Good to see you guys again.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you doing now?
All right, we're done.
All right. Cool. Thanks a lot, guys.
That sounds like Prodigy.
Thanks again for coming. Really appreciate it. I appreciate your opinions, and we'll catch you guys around.
It was awesome. Thank
Thanks
you.
A lot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hey, thanks so much for listening today. This is Rick. I'm sure you've all heard of Envision. The product is practically synonymous with screen design. We're stoked that Envision is now a sponsor of Hustle. Something we love about Envision is that they are so highly involved in the community. These guys really care about where design is going, and they support creatives with loads of design resources, UI kits, design process, and interview articles on their blog, which is great for just general inspiration when building products. Aside from being a great prototyping tool, they also have features for project management, creating mood boards and presentations, live collaborative screen sharings, and like a million other useful things. I literally do not have enough time to even list all their features, but they pretty much got what you need. Bottom line, they don't just want you to be a user. They want to empower you with their tools so that you can do your best work. And I think that's pretty cool. Overall takeaway, if you haven't heard about Envision or haven't checked them out in a while, just play around with their latest features. They have a free trial and a really impressive lineup of industry-leading design and project management tools. Their homepage is just envisionapp.com. Go check them out. Hustle is brought to you by FunSize, a digital product design agency in Austin, Texas that creates delightful, innovative products for mobile, web, and beyond. Visit us on Twitter @FunSize, or visit our website at funsize.co.